How much land did you get?
Over there, we worked, that was for Mr. Johnson. We worked about 30 acres, I guess, over there, something like that. And then Uncle Will Waldrop, the one that we got that land from, that had us move up here, he let us move on his place then. It's still on Hags. He had a new mogul wagon. You don't never forget them back in them days. Good pair of mules and all that hay rake and mowing machine and plows and tubes. And so we made I don't know how many crops there, one or two or something, and then he sold my daddy the mules and the wagon and the tools. He made about $200 for all of it. And then went on in and he let us have the place then. And in 1941, I finished high school. In 1942, I had to go to the service. So that stopped my farming right then. But while I was in there, and I was going to get to come back in February of 1946, I came home. But I had my dad to rent me some land from a neighbor out there. I come home, and me and my girlfriend got married and on Friday the 13th, too. And so we lived together ever since. But we had us a crop, and I drawed a little Western outpay in bank to buy some fertilizer and bought us a little furniture. We made it pretty good. So I found a little 20 acres of land up there, about 3 miles from there, with partially log house on it. So I bought it for, I believe it was $1,200. That was in summer of 46. So we moved up there and made one crop. And got me some chickens and hogs and a cow to milk, looked like Papa did, you know, just had everything going just right. So we had a little girl born, and first child. So then we made one more crop, and then I went then, and let's see, one or two more crops. Then I went to teaching vocational agriculture down in Holly Pond, because I had some agriculture teaching, and they put me down there teaching on the farm trainees, veterans, you know, and doing that, and I did that a couple of years. And I haven't farmed any since then. But I have worked off and on for the National Association of States Department of Agriculture out of Montgomery, part-time, and I go and check farmers and things. We got segments of land that we see how many farmers lives in it and what kind of crops, animals, or whatever they have, and livestock, chickens, and all that. But what's fantastic, that's all the equipment that they have now that we didn't have then. Everything, you get in there and you can take and disc your land, you can turn it and re-disc it and get in there with them planters, and it'll put the fertilizing out, seed out, and then you can come back and plow it. And it's fantastic how it operates. But then they've got another thing. It's no-till farming. They get out there and spray it. See, you've got all these insecticides, pesticides, and herbicides that they use now. It's thanks to D48, the cotton will take the leaves off of it, or you spray your ground with it, it kills everything out there. And then they just take their distributors and planters on the same frames and get out there and just plant it. It puts out the fertilizer, then puts out the seed and packs it down. And you don't have to plow it, you don't have to cultivate it. And that's the thing that's great. And then when they get ready to, just say for instance, to pick cotton, they've got these cotton pickers. You can go down, just pick till you get a load and dump it. Then you can take it in them big wagons over to the gym. And corn, they got corn pickers. You can pick it. And it's great because it makes it just pure corn. And the soybeans, you go out all them fields of soybeans, they've gathered them, and automatically pours, you know, pushes them out into the truck or whatever you want, a trailer, you're going to haul them to the market for it. And back then, if you had anything, you had to get together everything by hand.
How long would it take you to pick a cotton crop?
Well, some days, if we could get enough people to help us, we'd pick a half to a bale, a little more a day, depending on how many we had. But that Randolph County cotton wasn't as good as this Coleman County cotton, because it's down, they sort of ridges and rocks and things. It didn't make hardly as much per acre. We'd get about a half a bale to the acre, and sometimes we'd get more back then. But after we come up here, we could get half to a whole bale to the acre, sometimes a little more than a bale, depending on what land it was on, how it was fertilized, and if the weather was permissible. But some of the places back up here, a little further up in the northwest part of Alabama, they make bale, bale and a half, and 2 acres. I mean, 2 bales to the acre. But it's not all that many. It's like it with corn. Back then, you'd get 10, 15, 20 bushels of corn to the acre, 25 at the most. Now you can make from 40 to 100 bushels to acre on this land. Some of it to irrigate, though, now, you know. And for some of these farmers that I do, like up Cherokee County, they irrigate cotton and corn and stuff up there, and that helps, because a lot of times the weather is dry and you can irrigate. And like hay, they have some places they can irrigate that hay field, and if that's not long, it's up, they can cut it, and when they let it start again, they can water it and cut it about 3 times in a year instead of once or twice like most of the others.
Did you irrigate on your farm?
No, back then we didn't have any facilities to do that with. But there's a lot of things that's changed, and it's great that they have come up with all of these things, like pesticides and things, to keep the boll weevils off, army worms and things like that. We didn't have nothing back then.
So did you pick them off by hand?
Yeah, but sometimes you had a little arsenic or something you could put out, but they didn't much try to do anything about things like that in my early days. You know, they used to use DDT for some things, but it got to where it was getting into where the people might consume it through some way, and they quit using DDT, and they've got other kinds now. I can't tell you all of them, but like Roundup or something that you do weeds with. I forget all them things, but it's good that they have these things.
How well off was your family under sharecropping?
Well, my father was a good manager, and what we did, he would take what little money when we'd sell something, and he'd kill us a calf sometimes and cut it up and sell it for 8 and 10 cents a pound and stuff back then. But we did a little better than a lot of people, because my dad took care of the money, and he had them little side jobs like making some syrup and things and doing some shop work. But what he'd do, we saved all of our seeds. We raised our cow for milking, see, like I told you. And we raised our hogs to kill. And we would have that. And I saw it, and we had all, everybody had fruit trees. And you'd get out and you'd pick, you'd make candy peaches and apples and can all of your garden stuff, but then you dry them apples and peaches, you know, and have them to cook, make old fried pies with. You've heard of them, haven't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what we do. But we raised everything that we eat, and saved our seeds, and grew our popcorn. That's one thing we used to do, and take and put it up in a sack, put it up in the barn loft, and tie it with no hay baling wire where the rats couldn't get to it, you know. And peanuts, we raised a lot of peanuts, and we would parch them. Sometimes we would shell them and make some peanut brittle candy stuff out of them. And popcorn balls, we used to take that popcorn and make popcorn balls. And they was five of us kids, you know, and my father and mother, and we had to keep my dad's mother two or three different times for a while, and built her a little house over after my dad got this land from Uncle Will and bought it from him, and made arrangements.
About where was your homestead?
Well, from Baileyton here, you go to the coffee mine, you go north up there about a mile and a half, and turn left and go down about a mile and a half at Mount Pisgah Church, and you turn, it's right out there behind there where it starts on that dirt road. This dirt road yet, and it's always 40 acres. It doesn't join, the corners of it join. 36 and a half is here, and you get down the back of it on the right side down there, there's a point, and there's 40 more, and it's got, we had the timber cut off of it before I went to service, but we had about 14 acres over there on that, or 16, we had crops on. Most of the time we plant corn. We did plant some cotton, like alternating crops. It's good to do that, to take them crops and change them, like I told you before, because it helps. But we had a lot of, and we sold some timber, and you could do that, and he'd make a few cotton baskets or some, but he shod mules and horses, you know, put shoes on them, and he sheared them too. He had some shears, and I'd have to turn that mule shears, it's got a handle on it, and it turns a little cable in there, and then you've got a set of clippers on the end of it, and you'd shear them up and cut the manes and shear them all around. He did that too, like for $2 for a mule or a horse or something.
So you never were hungry or did without? You never felt poverty?
No, sir. We had as good a food as anybody else because we saved it and kept it, cured that meat, and killed us some calf and had some beef, and we had plenty of chickens to kill, and you'd make, Mama would fry some chicken, and she'd make chicken stew, then she'd make some of them old chicken and dumplings. Boy, them things, which you could keep them, we didn't have no refrigeration back in them days. And what you do, your milk was sour, you know, if the sweet milk would. You take it and put it in one of the springs. Everybody had springs, you know. And if it was too far down there, or the spring was a little dry, my dad made a thing in the shop, and you could let it down in there. It was you put your milk in it, put it down in the well, and let it get down to where it stayed cool, and it wouldn't sour. Except one time, there's a colored boy there that lived on that place, and he came up there and he bumped that, and that jar was in a half a gallon fruit jar. It bumped and broke it, and it fell out in there, and we had to take and clean the well out. Of course, he dug and cleaned out wells and things. These old big old dug wells, not the drilled wells. We would do that. I helped him do that some. But he was always doing something. I don't care if it was raining, he'd be out there shucking corn or throwing out compost out of the barn to haul out, you know, to put on your land for fertilizer. Or fix, if you couldn't too wet the plow, you'd be out there working, fixing your fences. And working on nailing something on the barn or fixing the stable or something. You'd always be doing something because it's just like public works. You've got to stay with it if you have anything. And you've got to sort of plan your strategy as to what to be doing when. That takes care of all the good weather when you can plow or plant or gather, and all the bad weather. Okay, and then when it gets colder, we had a couple of fireplaces, and one place we had a heater, and he'd go cut wood with that old cross-cut saw, and when I got big enough to cut it, I had to pull one side of that, but I couldn't split it. He'd split it till we do in the stove wood. We had a wood stove, wood cook stove, you know? He cut pine for that. Well, he could bust the big old blocks enough till I got big enough, and I'd split it up and then take it, and you'd put a double bit axe into in a stump or a big old stick of wood. Then you'd take that pieces of wood and bust them over that axe, like the blade setting up it, and you'd take that and it'll bust it to pieces how big you need to put in your cook stove, you know. And that's the way we made a stove with them. Till on up till, I believe it was 1946 before we got electricity at the end of the war down there at Mount Pisgah. That little old place I'd bought up there, I told you I'd move, they had it the year before, but it hadn't been put down there. And so when my oldest daughter was born, Diane, there, I went and bought a little old washer, one of them old kind, you know, with the ringers on it, and a little old refrigerator, and had to pay, I think it was $120 for both of them.